Okay. Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Roger Bowe, and I've been living here about since 1980. I used to work for the University of Missouri. My granddad established this ranch in 1907, so it's 100 years old this year. And there's been a bow here ever since. Hopefully we can stay a little longer anyway.
Okay. And where did they come from? What brought them here to
Australia? My great-grandfather was a veterinarian in Hereford, Texas, which is about 60 miles as the crow flies east of here. And whenever they started homesteading this area, my granddad and my great-granddad come down and dug some dugouts and stayed here and homesteaded what they could. And then over the years, my granddad hung on through some really, really tough times. They tried to farm a lot of this area in here, and it just didn't work. And in the 30s, pretty much drove everybody out. And I remember him telling me a story about the government come in, and it was so dry, the cows had nothing to eat. And, excuse me,
yeah,
sorry.
Fine. You're fine.
Okay.
So you're talking about how when the government, there wasn't enough feed to...
Oh, yeah, there wasn't enough feed, grass and stuff. And at that time, they didn't have supplemental feed or any way to get feed to the cattle. And so they come out and shot them and buried them. And my granddad let them do a few, and he couldn't stand it anymore. And he said for them to stop. And he stuck through the drought of the 30s, and a lot of people started leaving, and he started buying up the property, and so this is what we have today.
So that's when a lot of people started leaving.
Yeah, in the 30s, and in probably early 40s. At one time, there was like 10 to 12 families on this ranch. Mm-hmm. So... It was pretty tough to make a living. They were pretty dirt poor, as you say. And I know whenever I first moved back in 1980, I counted 10 family farms or ranches that were within 5 years of my age, and now I'm about, there's me and one other guy left. So, or, you know, a lot of things have changed even in the last 20, 30 years.
Can you talk about your operation a little bit?
Yeah, I have. It's a cow-calf operation. I have, what I've done, I've gone, some people like to call it the savory system, where I run my cows in one herd. I have right at 80 paddocks that I move them through. In the summertime, I move sometimes every day or every 2 days. In the wintertime, it's longer than that. And it's a totally different way of managing the ranch than what we used to. We just throw the cows out in the pasture and let them stay. Now they're in like, some of our paddocks are average around 160 acres, and we'll put 400 to 500 cows in there for a couple of days. Sort of try to emulate what the buffaloes used to do, keep them in a herd, and... The main thing we try to do is let the ground recover, the grasses and the other plants recover before they're grazed again. And we've seen quite a few benefits from that. Our water table's risen, a lot more biodiversity of plants and grasses, and things have really changed over the last... We started in 1985, I guess, trying to do this.
What brought on that change?
Well, I just felt the need that we saw what I think was a deterioration of the range. There were fewer and fewer grasses able to survive under conventional management. And I heard about Alan Savory, and I went to one of his schools, and it just clicked with me. This is the way I've got to do it. I think this is the right way to do it. And there's other ways, but I've been pretty successful with it.
Is that very common in the area?
No. It takes a lot of commitment to something that's really foreign to people. A total change in your management, and a total change in the way you handle your cattle. Your cattle behave differently. There was a lot of people that first tried it and failed, and it gave it a bad name. And it's really, you don't try it. It's a new way to make decisions. Is more how I like to put it. And you make decisions based upon not only profitability, but what is best for the range, and try to improve it. We don't try to sustain anything. We try to improve, because everything is always changing. One year, one type of grass will do good, and next year it won't. It's a constant change.
Can you kind of touch on the importance of maintaining that biodiversity and the, you know, you talked about that's why.
It goes back to just what I said. Each year, it seems like to me, what I've observed, you get rainfall at different times, you get different temperatures, and one year, blue grandma does good, the next year it doesn't, because the rain and the patterns doesn't fall to where it likes. It's a warm season grass. Like this year, our cool season grasses are doing good because we had early moisture. Before, we had very, very few cool season grasses because they'd get eat off first thing, and they couldn't survive. And now that I'm giving them rest to grow under these conditions, they're starting to survive and reproduce. And it just seems like something is different every year. And that's why you need the diversity.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know if you already had mentioned this, but do you rely mainly on the grasses, or do you also supplement?
I supplement during the wintertime, and what I try to do is supplement the range. And what that means is the range during the dormant season becomes low in protein. And so you try to supplement the protein. And if you don't, the cattle, the lignin in the grasses, the old dormant grasses, makes it very hard to digest. And this helps them digest more grass and keeps them in better shape. You also try to supplement the different minerals that they might need. I test my grass to kind of see, you know, there's phosphorus and calcium and other minerals that you try to supplement. You try to get as high a production as possible. And so supplement is some people can get by without it, but I try to get as high production as I can, and that helps.
Okay.